This is Focus on Domestic Violence, a public affairs presentation. I'm David Pike, Executive Director of Mitchell County Safe Place.
And I'm Samantha Phipps with the Family Violence Coalition of Yancey County.
And for the month of October, we're having a series on domestic violence abuse, talking with Jesse Kroom, who is a victim. And we've talked about in the past 2 weeks about how she went from a whirlwind romance to marriage to a cycle of abuse. And at the end of our program, they had moved to a new location where she was pretty much isolated from her family and friends. And so there you were in the Midwest in a nice home. You did live nicely, I guess, right?
Yeah, we had the house on the hill. We had a housekeeper and a cook. We had the two Mercedes convertibles sitting in the front yard. I mean, life was good. I married into a family with old political money. So from the outside looking in, people would have thought that I had the perfect life. But it wasn't perfect at all. The abuse changed when we moved into the Midwest. Things like he would tie me to a chair and cut on me with a knife until I met his demands. He'd play Russian roulette with my head, meaning that, you know, he'd spin the chamber on the gun, pull the trigger, and dare me to cry. And if I cried, of course, then he would do it again. And all of this is happening, and finally the apologies and the this is never going to happen again has stopped. And it's, go ahead, leave if you want to, I'll hunt you down and I'll kill you. Go ahead, tell anybody that you want to, nobody's going to believe you anyway.
Because to the community, I guess, he presented a totally different face. He was not this evil, abusing person. He was probably a very civic-minded, church-going person.
He was a deacon in the church. He was a huge philanthropist as far as charity and stuff went. He was head of the Big Brothers Big Sisters organization where he was, and he was this guy that everybody thought was the most amazing man in the world.
But the abuse is going on, and it sort of culminated at some point with a rather bad situation for you, didn't it?
Yes. Right as all the bad stuff has gotten so worse that I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to die, I find out that I'm pregnant. And for me, of course, this is a really good time, but for him, it wasn't. He wanted a little boy. We found out that we were having a little girl, and he was very angry about that. And I jokingly say, of course, it wasn't my fault that I was having a little girl. That's kind of the man's job in the whole thing, but I wasn't going to tell him that. So we got home, and he was very, very angry. He had been drinking, and he beat me to within an inch of my life. And one of the things that he said to me before the beating started was, you know what, I'm going to fix you. You couldn't get pregnant right. You couldn't have this little boy that I wanted, so you won't have this child, and you'll never have another child as long as you live.
And you were actually beat and kicked unconscious, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Sometime during the beating, he actually stepped on my face, and I have pictures of the boot print across my face. My nose was shattered. My cheekbone was shattered. My jaw was wired shut. And I actually had to have some reconstructive surgery so that I, you know, my face would be okay.
And you came to and were in the hospital.
Yes. And, of course, the first thing that I asked about was my little girl. And the doctors told me that she was born dead and that due to the trauma that had happened during this beating, I was never going to have children again.
So he was right in that prediction that he was going to keep you from having children.
Yes.
And so you were beaten almost within an inch of your life. He may have thought you were dead when he left you, right?
Yes, I truly, honestly believe that he did think I was dead, and the doctor said that it was the hand of God who reached down and helped me through that first night. There was no way that I was supposed to make it through that first night.
And what did the police say?
Law enforcement said that I couldn't prove that he had done this to me, and because I couldn't prove that he had done this to me, there was nothing that they could do. And that was something that he had always told me, that there was absolutely nothing, that nobody was going to believe me.
And that's hard to believe that law enforcement would do that. And hopefully as time goes on, and that was many years ago, but hopefully that law enforcement is becoming better educated. Well, we're at the end of this week's time, and so we'll continue this story and see how you handle that situation. And you want to tell us about the candlelight vigil, Samantha? That's tonight, I think.
Yes, we are going to be meeting in the square. It's going to be dusk. A little bit before 6. Actually, we're going to start at 6. We'll have candles, and it's going to be for survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, childhood abuse. And their loved ones, if you have a loved one who has left us as a result of domestic violence or sexual assault or childhood abuse, please feel free to join us also. And we're going to meet, and feel free to share some words and whatever it takes to make you feel a little bit better.
Okay, that's the Candlelight Vigil is tonight, Thursday the 18th at 6 o'clock. And if people want more information, give us a phone number.
Yes, please call us at 682-0056, or you can also call me at 284-1529, which is more of the business line. But it's tonight in the square in Yancey County, and we'll provide the candles.
And if you want information about domestic violence in Mitchell County, give us a call at 765-4044. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And remember that stopping domestic violence begins with who? It begins with me and you.